It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This week, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported Ascension, Wisconsin is no longer staffing critical care physicians in person at some of its smaller intensive care units.
The health system is opting to have the critical care specialists called intensivists available at several of its small locations via video call. In a statement, Ascension says there are protocols in place to manage emergency situations and that the video call option is an improvement over having specialists on call by phone.
The changes took effect as of May 1st at some of Ascension's smaller hospitals. According to the Journal Sentinel, hospital staff say those include facilities in Brookfield, Franklin, and Mequon.
Sarah Volpenhayn is healthcare reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and broke the story. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
From the sources you talked to, what exactly is changing in the way that these intensive care units would work?
Yeah, so previously, these units would either have critical care providers respond in person for part of the day or all of the day, or they would have somebody on call. So if somebody in the ICU needed help from a critical care provider, they would call in somebody who would drive in and arrive in person. So now under this change, basically they're switching to a telemedicine model in the ICUs where the critical care providers will no longer be in person in these certain ICUs, but will be available via video for consultations, and they will be able to monitor to some extent the patients virtually.
And Ascension points out, we got a statement from them, as you did. They point out that there will be physicians on hand, the hospitalists, a different specialty, critical care nurses, access to emergency rooms. When you talked to some staff there, what were some of the concerns about not having the intensivist specialist on hand at least some of the time?
Yeah, so the people I spoke to were just really concerned that in an emergency, an ICU patient might not have the type of doctor that they need. And what was really concerning was a lot of the questions that they had that were unanswered for them. They didn't get a lot of communication going into this change about what the protocols were for emergent situations. If all of a sudden a patient started to code and needed some sort of medical intervention like an intubation or a central line placement that typically an on-site critical care doctor could provide. So they had a lot of questions about, you know, what do we do if a patient suddenly takes a turn and needs some of these interventions that typically the critical care doctor would provide. There were also some questions about what kind of monitoring would be available and how closely the offsite critical care providers would be able to keep an eye on the patients in the ICUs. And that's something that I didn't get a lot of clarity from Ascension on, is exactly to what extent basically the offsite team is able to monitor the patients.
And in their statement, Ascension mentioned that in that emergency situation, that the options would include, hey, there are emergency room physicians and practitioners and staff available to deal with that. Some of the staff you talked to, though, were a little worried about how that was going to work. What did you hear from them?
Yeah, basically, it's unclear exactly what the lines of responsibility are, at least from the perspective of the people that I talked to. There was some concern that emergency room doctors would not feel comfortable leaving their primary responsibility in the ER to respond to an emergency elsewhere. And there's also generally emergency medicine physicians aren't credentialed to take care of inpatient patients, people who are admitted to the hospital. So that was another concern that I heard from the people I talked to.
Sarah, thanks for sharing your reporting with us. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Sarah Volpenhayn, healthcare reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. To learn more about tele-ICUs, how they work, how widely they're used, we have Dr. Ellie Golestanian, associate professor in the Division of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Her focus is on tele-ICU services. Dr. Golestanian, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
How widely used are some forms of telehealth care in intensive care units for these intensivist specialists in particular?
Well, I think nationally, the figure runs something between 13 and 20% of ICU beds that are co-monitored and managed by EICU. There are various a number of different EICU systems throughout the country, and they were really born out of a shortage of intensivists nationally and within Wisconsin itself. And so I can't speak to all the different systems, but I can tell you about our EICU within eCare as part of UW Health. And so our focus is on providing critical care expertise to small hospitals, often rural hospitals throughout the state, and a couple in Illinois, that have ICU beds but do not have an intensivist there. Because, you know, critical care medicine is a specialty. Mm-hmm. We spend our careers managing patients in shock, respiratory failure, sepsis, on ventilators, severe infections, cardiac arrests, and complex physiology that's often rapidly changing. And we're trained to be able to make split-second decisions if that need arises. And so what the EICU system has, I want to stress that it's not simply a critical care physician answering a phone call on their mobile or even by some sort of video system. It's an entire setup that has its own specialized software that pulls in real time patient data for us to review constantly. So we can look at the patient's charts, which are almost all electronic right now, their labs, their imaging, vital signs, ventilator settings, their clinical trends. Trends are extremely important for us to pick up. And we look at those. And most importantly, we work with a dedicated group of bedside physicians and providers and other clinicians, including the nursing staff, obviously, respiratory therapists, occasionally the critical care pharmacists. And we work with them to provide our expertise so that they can better serve their patients and look after their patients.
I want to ask about a particular situation. Someone's in that ICU, they need immediately or more or less immediately a procedure that that intensivist, that critical care physician can provide. What is key to making sure that there's somebody in range, maybe from the emergency room or elsewhere, to provide that particular service quickly?
That's an excellent question. And it's a crucial point because clearly we're not at the bedside. And, you know, we can do almost everything, but we cannot lay our hands on the patients to examine them. And we cannot do procedures. So a crucial factor when we take on a new site is clarifying exactly who is available that can do these emergency procedures. Now, very often, if a nurse notices an emergency situation or a respiratory therapist, we can often more quickly get into the room, like within seconds of being e-alerted. We can more quickly get in there than even the in-house physicians. But having determined that a procedure needs to be done emergently, for example, an emergency intubation, then that procedure must be able to be carried out by a physician who is in-house, whether that is a hospitalist that is trained to do that, which is not very usual. It's more often anesthesiologists who are in-house or emergency room physicians. And so at the very start of taking on a partnership with a new site, we clear these hurdles. We make sure that somebody is there who can do these things. And if, for example, after a patient is intubated, we determine that the resources and bedside staff are not there to take care of an intubated patient and their mechanical ventilation, then we help them make arrangements to transfer the patient out to a tertiary care facility.
I want to clarify, you mentioned that we don't have necessarily enough intensivists to go around for all facilities. In some cases, I assume even if a smaller facility has an intensivist, they don't have one 24 hours a day. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Again, because of the shortage, critical illness, knows no boundaries. Critically ill patients can be ill at nighttime, on weekends, and on holidays. And because EICU platforms are 24/7, oftentimes our role is to provide coverage throughout those hours and days when in-house coverage is less than optimal. So again, at nighttime, we not only serve small remote settings, but also some of the larger hospitals, even in Madison, because at nighttime we can help oversee the care given by, for example, a trainee, a fellow or a resident who is there at the bedside can ask us questions immediately about a patient.
Just briefly, I imagine a patient or a family member, a loved one, might look and see, wait, I'm being monitored from off-site. I imagine there's some reactions of concern to that. In just our last few moments, what do you say, or what do the hospital staff explain to the patient in that situation?
Yes, certainly. And the nursing staff that we work with, who are often the first to be asked that question, are extremely skilled at passing on that information as to who exactly we are and what we do. And if the patient has ongoing questions, we can camera in, they can see us on video, and we can have a direct conversation about what our role is. And I should note that it's important to know that it's not just one physician providing EICU care. We're very much a team, usually a ratio of four highly qualified EICU critical care nurses to one physician, in addition to administrative staff and information technology staff, who ensure that everything is running smoothly and that we can answer questions, including to the family who may have questions for us.
Dr. Golestanian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Dr. Ali Golestanian, associate professor in the Department of Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Earlier, we spoke to Sarah Volpenine. We've been talking about EICUs.